Friends, our scripture reading tonight is Psalm 13. We've been looking at a few different psalms in recent weeks, and this week we're going to think about this particular psalm, which is in fact a psalm of lament. The words will be up on the screen, but I'd also encourage you to open your own Bible if you have one, as we're going to be looking at the verses as we go along. Psalm 13, for the director of music, a psalm of David. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God, give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Amen. Friends, the very first thing that that this psalm, Psalm 13, drives us to is to do an honest assessment of our own personal relationship with the Lord. You see, there will be times in life when these words that we've just read together will actually seem quite irrelevant and quite foreign. Those are times when you actually don't feel ignored or neglected or distressed. In fact, the very opposite. Times when you feel incredibly close to the Lord. I'm talking about those periods when our faith is so strong and our hearts are full of peace and we are just filled with rejoicing and with praise. We feel that everything is going well for us. And we see the Lord's work in our lives. Our thoughts turn to him often and we sense his love and his nearness. And how wonderful times like that are. And if that's how you're feeling tonight, then I would just encourage you to give thanks to God. How marvelous to be in a season of assurance and happiness and blessing. But you know, there may also be people here tonight who are actually quite jealous of that. Because the fact is that there are other times when things can be so very different. Sometimes you feel as though God is extremely distant. And that he isn't really helping you at all. And that he doesn't even care. Our prayers can go unanswered. We seem to have nothing but trouble and stress, heartache and grief. Personal relations are strained, health deteriorates, finances are tight. Everything seems difficult and frustrating all of the time. It seems like there's just one problem after another. And the future looks grim and there doesn't seem to be any light at the end of the tunnel. We can sometimes feel as though no one really understands us. As though no one is actually supporting us. As though no one's even interested. And the Lord seems so far off. And our bond with him seems to be getting weaker. And our relationship with him feels cold. In his commentary on the Psalms, James Boyce, he says this. He says, as a result of counselling people over more than two decades, I'm convinced that a feeling of abandonment is far more common than it appears to be. Many people feel abandoned by others first, but ultimately also by God, which makes this a spiritual problem and not only a psychological one. And then in his commentary, Boyce goes on to observe that even though this seems to be so common, that it's not actually something we easily talk about. Listen to what he says here. He says, why do you suppose this is? I think it is because we have been taught that Christians are not to experience such things, that we are only to have life more abundantly or to live victoriously. If any of us should admit to such feelings, many of our friends would look dubiously at us and shake their heads and wonder whether we are even Christians. Isn't that true? Isn't that the chief reason why you do not talk to other Christians about this? I wonder if you can relate to his words here. Sometimes our relationship with the Lord is strong, but there are plenty of other times when it's desperately weak. We feel spiritually depressed. We feel like God has abandoned us, and we think we can't even talk about it. And so we keep all our feelings to ourselves. Well, friends, we are going to talk about it tonight, because David, well, he didn't keep his feelings to himself, did he? In this psalm, he shares them very openly with God, but also with us. And in doing so, he provides us with some truly beautiful guidance for struggling believers just like you and me. And what we find here is a psalm that is in three parts. And in each of those parts, we see a progression of thought as David addresses his feeling of being abandoned by the Lord. So let's think first of all about verses 1 and 2. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? In the first part of this psalm, what we see here is David expressing deep feelings of despair. Four times he cries out, "How long?" And this shows us the depth of his anguish. But it also shows us that he is in the midst of a very prolonged struggle. We don't know the circumstances, but I think that's on purpose, so that we can apply it more easily to ourselves. But what we do know is that David was in a very dark place, and that he'd been there for a very long time. And perhaps you know what that's like. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? He felt that God was ignoring him, that he just didn't care. He wondered if the Lord would help him or even take notice of him ever again. He adds, "How long will you hide your face from me?" This phrase reminds me of those words in Numbers chapter 6 where it says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." When God's face is shining on us, then things are good. It's a symbol of blessing, of protection, of grace and of peace. But David says God's face is now hidden, and so things are not good. The Lord is withholding his blessing. And in verse 2, he adds, "How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart?" Here he reveals how his feelings about God are affecting how he feels within himself. He's just full of anxiety and confusion. He's in turmoil. He's all churned up. He's downhearted. He is depressed. And furthermore, he asks, "How long will my enemy triumph over me?" We don't know which particular enemy he refers to, but what we do know is that behind any earthly enemy is the devil himself. He just loves to see God's people struggling. He loves to get the upper hand in our lives, and David could see that happening to himself. And so he lays out his feelings of despair before the Lord. But friends, so can we. There's nothing shameful or sinful about being brutally honest with God. This is one of the things that I love about the Psalms. They're so real and they're so raw about human emotion. And they show us that we can be real and raw with our Father in heaven. it's okay to express your struggles to Him in prayer. It's okay to ask questions, intense and painful questions. It's okay to complain when you feel that God is abandoning you. How long, Lord, do I have to suffer in this way? How long do I have to stick in this frustrating job? How long until I find a marriage partner or till a child is conceived? How long will I struggle to make ends meet? How long will I feel so tired and stressed out every day? How long will my children cause me so much worry? How long will I battle with this sickness, with this pain? How long will I experience such overwhelming grief and feelings that life has no purpose? How long will my ministry be so difficult? How long will I feel so spiritually dry? Perhaps like me, you don't always bring your true feelings to God. Maybe we think that that would be weak or unholy to pray like that. Maybe we think God's not interested. Or maybe it's just a symptom of our spiritual struggle, that our prayers just end out being going through the motions, and we actually neglect the real issues that we're up against. But let's be reminded tonight, you really can talk to God with absolute honesty about the struggles in your life and in your heart. If you feel that He is distant and withholding His blessings, then cry out to Him. If you are anxious and depressed, then seek Him in your pain. And if you think that the devil is prevailing in your life, then lay that out before the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, "Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." Do you hear that? Because He cares for you. But do we do it? Maybe tonight we'll stop pretending that everything's okay. Perhaps tonight we'll turn the corner and start truly bringing our questions, our fears, and our troubles to the Lord. But now in the second part of the psalm, David moves from expressing feelings of despair to making an urgent appeal to the Lord. He has complained, but now he seeks God's help. Verses 3 and 4, he says, "Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall." David recognizes that if things keep going the way they are, then he's probably going to go under. He's probably going to give up on life. He will be ruined. His enemies will triumph and they will celebrate his demise. So all he can do is appeal to the one who is greater than his circumstances and greater than his troubles and greater than his enemy. He appeals to the God who can save. And that makes sense, doesn't it? If we don't cry out to God in times of trouble, then we would be like a child who's complaining that they're hot in the car, but yet they don't ask their father to turn on the air conditioning. Or like a child who is complaining that they're hungry, but they do not ask their mother for something to eat. Our despair must lead us to bring our needs before God. And so David says, "Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes." He asks God to no longer hide his face, but instead to see his problems and to take pity. He asks God to no longer forget him and ignore him, but to respond to his request. He asks God to lift him out of his darkness and to give light to his eyes as he finds blessing once again. David began his prayer in despair, but yet he recognizes that God is the one who can help, and so he appeals to him. But congregation, is this also the pattern of our prayers? It's one thing to see your troubles. It's one thing to whinge and complain and carry on. But it's quite another to genuinely and humbly ask God to come to your aid. Let's never be too timid to ask God to fix our troubles, because He truly does care about the things that are happening in your life. But let us also never be too proud to ask Him for help either. For friends, we depend on Him for everything. When things go wrong in your life, you can ask God to step in and take action. You can ask Him to change your family situation, to change your work situation. You can ask Him to do something about your finances, about your health, about your faith. You can ask Him to lift the fog, to ease the stress, to cheer your soul. Be specific. Tell Him what you struggle with. And like David, you can give God reason. Lord, remember your promises to love me and to care for me, to never leave me or forsake me. Remember your promise to use my life for your glory and to overcome the enemy. Friend, when you cast your anxiety upon God, then we can also ask Him to lift that burden off our shoulders. In Philippians chapter 4, we're told, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But there's one last part to this psalm, one more step in this progression of prayer, and it's in verses 5 and 6. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for He has been good to me. Isn't that super? Doesn't that lift your spirits? David was so deep in despair. How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? But that led him to appeal for God's help. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. And now he expresses such deep trust. For what good would it be to ask Almighty God for help and then to just go on worrying and being miserable like you were before? But here David shows us that despite his desperate circumstances, once he brings those things before God, he knows that he is cared for. Verse 5, I trust in your unfailing love. David is reminded that God's good promises are absolutely unshakable, that his words is absolutely dependable, and that his affections will never change. Even on a cloudy day, my friends, we know that the sun is shining bright. We just cannot see it, can we? Even when dark clouds come into our lives, we know that God's love is still shining bright, even when we cannot see it. Our Heavenly Father will always guide us, will always protect us, will always be with us. Even in the hardest of times, we can be assured that He will not let us down and He will not let us go. He is completely trustworthy and His mercies never fail. And David then adds, my heart rejoices in your salvation. This trust that he has also fills him with such joy, with such rejoicing, because God's love is so closely related to his deliverance. Because God cherishes his chosen people, he saves them from their troubles. And that has been the pattern from the beginning. God always delivers those who turn to him in faith. And so in verse 6 he concludes, I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. David has come a long way, hasn't he? For now he trusts, he rejoices, and he sings. And all because he remembers what God is really like. And he remembers how good that God has been. But isn't that where our prayers should take us to? There is no denying that there will be times in every single one of our lives when things seem to be as bad as they can be. When we truly do feel that God has forgotten us and hidden his face and left us in our struggles till the enemy triumphs. But like David, we need to remember that the Lord has been so good. David could look back, couldn't he? David could look back to how the Lord created this earth and mankind and gave us life. And how he was gracious even as we fell into sin. And David could look back on how Noah and his family were rescued. And Abraham, how he was chosen to be the father of his covenant people. And he could look back on how Abraham's descendants were so blessed and became a mighty nation. And he could look back on how God saved his people from that slavery in Egypt and gave them the promised land. And he could look back at the great victories and the rich blessings that God had provided, even during his own lifetime. And we can look back on all that too, because these things all show us what a loving and caring God we have, a God who delivers his people and saves. But yet David couldn't see everything that we can, could he? He saw only the shadows, but we have so much more. For didn't God also give his beloved Son? Did he not look upon us in mercy and see and send the perfect answer to the deepest problem we could ever have? And did not Jesus come down into this earth, onto this earth, for the sake of our salvation? And did he not die on that cross and bear his Father's wrath so that we will never have to? And did he not win that glorious victory over sin and death and damnation for all of his people? And doesn't now the Holy Spirit work in us, giving us faith to trust in that sacrifice? And hasn't God given us that peace that passes all understanding and a joy that is so deep and an eternal hope that no one can ever, ever take away? My friends, if you are the Lord's and if you are depending on him, then you can trust in his unfailing love. And your heart can rejoice in his salvation. And you can sing the Lord's praise, knowing that he has been so good to us. Sometimes we feel there's no end to our troubles. Sometimes God doesn't even seem to care. But when that's how you feel, then don't give up. Rather, bring your troubles to God and seek his help, and be assured that his peace will guard your heart in Christ. With this knowledge, we can hold fast to him, even in the darkest of days, because he is our heavenly Father, and he loves us so dearly. He gave us his Son. Jesus was willing to come and to give his life for us. And so we can be certain that our prayers are heard by him and that he responds. And we know that God may not always answer our prayers in the way that we expect or even in the way that we like. But we do know that he always answers them in the way that is right. And ultimately, we know that he will take us to heaven where these troubles are no more. In Romans 8, Paul says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us." Friends, if it feels like God has abandoned you, then I want to urge you tonight to follow David's example. Pray to your Father. Express your despair. Appeal for his help and trust. Trust in his unfailing love. And then even in the midst of stress and sadness, your heart can rejoice and you can sing God's praise. Because, my friends, he truly has been good to us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful psalm, a psalm that reminds us that life is not always easy. And Lord, we know that full well. Lord, for some of us, we can remember hard times in the past. For some of us, we know there will probably be hard times in the future. And Lord, for some of us, we're in the midst of that right now. Things have gone wrong. Life is not how we had hoped it would be. But Lord, we know that even though at a time like this it may feel like you have forgotten us, that you are still there and that your love still shines bright. And so we pray, Lord, tonight, please help us to be people of prayer. Lord, help us to bring our needs before you in all honesty. And Lord, help us to seek your aid no matter what is going on in our lives. And Lord, help us to trust in you. Lord, you are a good God and you have been good to us. We know that full well. And so we pray tonight, help us to remember this. Help us to remember that you even gave your own Son for the sake of our salvation. And that if you have given us your Son, you will also give us all good things. Lord, we pray, help us to know this truth deep in our hearts and help us to hold on to it until that day when you call us home and when finally we rejoice in your presence. Lord, please hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.